Hi, this is Rabbi Shace Taub. We're about to watch a class I gave on the weekly Torah portion, but the real focus and the message is the power of speech and why we need to speak up and how to speak up. I hope this is going to not only inform you, but motivate you to use your voice. Come check out the class with me. So, Emer El HaKohanim, speak to the priests, the descendants of Aaron, and tell them about their special mitzvahs and about guarding their ritual purity and all that stuff. But the name of the parsha is just Emar, just the word Emar. And Emar means speak. And yes, obviously, if you read the whole verse, there's a context there. Who are we speaking to and what are we speaking to them about? But the name itself, the way that Jews have referred to this Torah portion for centuries and for millennia, is just the word Emar by itself, which just means speak. Just speak without any further context. And so there's a question which the Rebbe asks this question, which is, on its own, the word Emar really, it's really kind of a questionable word. You remember we started Pirkei Avos a few weeks ago? Every Shabbos, we learn another chapter of Pirkei Avos during Sfira, the weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. So, you remember what Shammai said? Not Hill, but Shammai. He said, "Emer me'at v'aseh harbe." Speak little and do much. Speak little and do much. In other words, talk is cheap. Like, don't speak so much, just get stuff done. So, why does this word Emar speak without any context around it? Why is it worthy of being a name of a parsha, and what message does it have to us? What are we supposed to learn from it? That's really the question. Now, you could say that it's talking about speaking words of Torah. Speaking words of Torah is a holy thing. But no, because speaking words of Torah is actually its own concept. Like we say, Vishinantam Levanacha Vidibarta Bom. If you want to transmit the Torah, it says you should teach them diligently, teach the words of Torah diligently to your children, vidibarta bom, and you should speak about them. So vidibarta bom, you should speak about the words of Torah, is its own concept. But this is Emar, just speaking, not words of Torah, just speaking something else, not as Torah study. So what's it talking about? So there's a saying from our sages that lashon hara, that evil speech, gossip, slander, kills three people. The person who speaks it, the person who listens to it, and the person who it's spoken about. So the question is, I understand why you're telling me that speaking Lashon Hara has devastating effects on someone who speaks it, because he's doing a bad thing. And also the person who listens to it. Right? If nobody listens to Lashon Hara, nobody's going to speak Lashon Hara. So the one who's listening to it is also certainly doing something negative. And brings dire consequences upon himself. But why does it say that it kills the person who it's spoken about? Now, you're going to say, well, because they say bad things about the person, then it ends up having consequences. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual consequences. Just like there are spiritual consequences for the person who speaks the Lashon Hara, there are spiritual consequences for the person who listens to the Lashon Hara. We're talking about spiritual consequences. We're not talking about natural things that happen because then it's not even the Lashon Hara, then it's whatever immediate cause actually damaged this person. So that's not what we're talking about. When we say that the evil speech kills three people, we're talking about something comparable. It damages them all in similar ways. So we're talking about spiritual damage. Why is the person who it's spoken about being spiritually damaged, along with the two guys who are speaking it and listening to it? So it's explained that one of the things that makes Lashon Hara so problematic is that it's true. It's not that it's libelous. It's not that, well, maybe you're going to say something bad about somebody and somebody else will believe it, and then the person who you spoke about is going to miss out on opportunities, or they're going to be judged or excluded. Yeah, I mean, obviously those are terrible things, but let's say none of that happens. Let's say two people sit around just enjoying speaking gossip about other people, and it doesn't leave the room, and there are no further ramifications. Nobody acts upon it. Nobody does anything about it. It's just they're doing it for fun. You know, that's their recreation. They're just saying things, true things about other people. And yet we're told that itself is hurting the person that's being spoken about. So why? Why is that hurting the person that's being spoken about? Again, I understand that if the conversation leads to some type of an action, but then it wasn't the speech that hurt the person, it was the action that came from the speech. I'm talking about, in theory, two people sitting in a room just speaking gossip about other people, and nothing goes further than that. Nobody takes any actions other than that, and yet we still say that it's spiritually damaging the person who's being spoken about. And I'll explain it to you. And maybe this is sort of a continuation of what we spoke about last week, but it's like on a higher level even. And if you weren't here last week, you don't have to, I mean, you could go back and watch the recording from last week. But even if you didn't, I could sum it up for you in 30 seconds. We spoke about the idea of when you see the good in other people and you identify it and you label it, then they live up to it. We remember we spoke about the Rosenthal effect, that science experiment where they told these teachers that certain kids are going to blossom this year, and it was totally random. It was not, there was no sign that these particular kids were going to blossom this year, but the ones conducting the experiment just said that these kids were going to blossom this year. And then when the teachers believed that, they treated those kids differently, and then those kids blossomed. And we spoke about that power of looking at somebody with a good eye and treating them in ways that maybe they haven't yet proven themselves to be on that level, but it actually causes them to rise to that level. Actually, somebody commented on the recording for the class that this is also called the Pygmalion effect. It's called the Pygmalion effect, which I think originally that's an ancient Greek story, but I think it's also George Bernard Shaw. Is that right? Isn't that George Bernard Shaw? Pygmalion? Yeah? At any rate, the idea that when you see something in somebody and you treat them accordingly, then it can actually cause them to behave that way. So you're bringing it out in them. That was last week. So what we're talking about this week is actually even more than that. And that is, this is when the person, the subject of the positive thoughts and positive words isn't even present to pick up on your positive vibes about them. I mean, this is really spiritual. Because the Rosenthal effect, I mean, you could, that there's nothing inherently supernatural about that. You could just say that when you're interacting with somebody and you interact with them in certain ways, you send out positive messages, whatever those messages are. But the point is the person who's being treated positively picks up on it and they respond accordingly. But what we're talking about now is even if two people are at a military base in Antarctica with the doors locked for months, they can't go outside, and they're talking about some guy in New York, it will have an effect on that guy. This is a metaphysical thing. It's not psychological. It's perhaps parapsychological. It's metaphysical, supernatural. But this is what we're saying, that when you speak about somebody, it has an effect on them. So when you speak Lashon Hara, when you speak negative speech about somebody, even if it goes no further than the conversation of the two people who are talking, and they don't repeat it to anyone, and they don't act on it, and they don't do anything else, it still damages the person being spoken about. Because when we speak about something, we bring it into reality. Speech is powerful. When Hashem creates, and I say in present tense creates, because the world is an ongoing act of creation, Hashem creates through speech. He speaks the world into being. And we, being created in His image, we also create through speech. And when we speak about somebody, we bring out certain things into reality and make them more solid and make them more real. And if you protest and you say, well, hold on a second, I'm not making stuff up about the guy, I mean, I'm just repeating what's true. Exactly. Exactly. It's not bad enough that this guy you're talking about really has a character defect. He really does. And we all have character defects. He really is struggling with a certain area. He really is weak in that area. And now you're talking about it. The fact that you're talking about it, even if he'll never find out, even if nobody else will find out, it's just, in fact, in theory, even if there's no one there to listen to your Lashon Hara, even if you would just stand in the corner and speak a soliloquy, just monologue about people in negative ways. You don't even need a voodoo doll for this. You could just go in the corner and speak negatively about people. It will have a negative effect on them. You're going to say, well, how is that right? How is that just? What kind of a weird spiritual law is that, that somebody can just go and speak bad stuff about somebody else and it will really affect them? Well, I'm glad that you're indignant about it, but you do live in a world where people can go walk over to other people and smack them undeservedly. So what did the guy do to deserve to be smacked? So just like somebody can go walk over and smack a guy and cause him pain that he doesn't deserve, so too a guy can go and speak negative words about somebody else, and even if nobody else ever finds out, it's going to damage the person who's being spoken about. Why? Because whatever negative qualities you're speaking about, you're bringing them out, you're making them more solid, you're making them more real in this world. Every act of speech is an act of revelation. You're taking something that's spiritual or abstract or potential, and you're giving it a manifestation. You're giving it a place, a foothold in the physical realm. Okay, so correspondingly, we have the power of Lashon Tov, of good speech. That if you speak good about somebody, it will have a good effect on them.
And here's the doozy. They don't have to know. They don't have to be there. Remember, it's not just like last week where we said if you treat somebody like a mensch, they tend to feel like a mensch and start acting like a mensch and they rise to the occasion. That's also true. That was last week. But I need to bring you something bigger this week. We got to always ascend. We got to have a bigger idea every week. What I'm telling you this week is you go and speak about somebody, even if they don't know about it. Your speech has power. It's going to make them stronger. So we have to really be very careful about that. If you know somebody is struggling with something and they had a breakthrough, it'll be a good thing to notice it and to speak about it and to say, oh, you know what so-and-so did, he's really accomplishing, he's really doing an amazing thing. That person doesn't ever have to know that you spoke that. It will have an effect. It will have an effect. Reb Simcha Bunim Mipshischa, who was one of the great rabbis in the back in Europe in the 1800s. So he once was talking to his students or a group of his students, and he recommended to them, for whatever reason, that they should go to a certain tavern. And he said that if you'll hang out at this tavern and you'll observe the innkeeper's a simple person, he's a simple Jew, he's not a scholar, but you should hang out there and you should observe the innkeeper and it'll benefit you. So the students listened to their Rebbe and they went to the tavern, they hung out and they saw the very simple Jew and they were watching to see if there was anything special that they could pick up on from him. They didn't really know anything. Just they didn't notice anything. They just saw a guy running a tavern and, you know, washing glasses and serving beer and clearing tables, and that's all he was doing really. So at one point, the innkeeper says to these chassidim, you know, you've been here for a while, you must be hungry already. Let me serve you supper. I have some soup, I'll bring you some soup. So he went to the kitchen to get the soup. And they started murmuring to each other like, you know, we're really here to watch this guy, you know, the Rebbe told us to watch this guy and to learn something from this guy. But the Rebbe didn't tell us that the guy is necessarily so holy, you know, maybe has a certain thing. You can learn something from everybody. So, like, he's a simple innkeeper. He's not, I mean, how religious is he really? How, certainly not a scholar. Can we really trust his kashrus? And this is the discussion. They're discussing whether or not they're going to eat the food that he's going to serve. So he comes out, and he's got a soup there, and he sees them having a discussion. And they just, you know, deliberating right there, and you know, sort of like furtively, a little bit, you know, whispering, murmuring, you think really, I don't know, I think it's reliable. Yeah, you see, you know, he works in a tavern all day, and he works with non-Jews, and he's probably not really a practicing Jew, and yeah, and they're like basically evaluating the guy, like right in front of him. And trying to decide whether or not they're going to eat his soup. So finally, he says to them, he says, Jews, you seem to be very careful about what you put in your mouth. Why aren't you at all careful about what comes out of your mouth? And perhaps that was the very lesson that Reb Simcha Bunim had sent the chassidim to the tavern to go learn. The power of what comes out of our mouth. It's not just that we shouldn't use language to hurt people. Obviously, we shouldn't be verbally abusive and speak in ways that shame people or or cause them discomfort. That's obvious, and that's prohibited by Torah. It's called einos devarim, harmful speech, hurtful speech. But what we're talking about is the unique prohibition against using our human capacity to create through words in a way that could harm our fellow. That is what we're forbidden from doing. And conversely, we should focus on the positive. We should try as much as possible to harness that creative power to build people up. And that's the meaning here of emor. Emor. It's a one word title. Emor. Speak. Speak. Speak what? Whatever's good. Anything that's good. Speak it. Because you'll speak about it and you'll make it more real. And again, I'm not talking just about the psychological effects, which also are certainly valid when you speak to somebody in a kind way. I mean, they say even you speak to the plants in a nice way, it makes the plants happy, they grow better. And I'm not even talking about the effect it has on you when you speak positively. Obviously, it makes us happier and gives us a greater sense of well-being if we frame things in a positive way and we can bring it out in speech. Obviously, and we have our gratitude list and all that stuff. Obviously, that's healthy for us. But I'm talking about something that is chemical. It's not a psychological phenomenon. And that is that when we speak, setting aside any subjective effect that it has on anyone who may be listening, or any subjective effect that it may have on ourselves if we are listening to our own positive speech, just the fact that we take ideas are abstractions, and we verbalize them, we physically articulate them with our organs of speech, you know, with the friction of the buzzing of the air in the different parts of our mouth, in the different compartments of speech, in the throat, in the palate, in the lips, in the tongue, in the teeth. That it's a physical thing. When you're speaking, you're compressing air and you're vibrating air, and there's this, you're causing the sound waves to you're causing vibrations. It's a physical thing. So that articulation is causing whatever it is you're speaking about to also become more physical and more real. So we got to think about that and choose our words very wisely, and don't be stingy with your words. Because after you hear all this, you might be intimidated and you'd say, you know what? It's too scary. I don't want to hurt anyone with my words. I'll take a vow of silence. You know about there was a monastery where the monks took a vow of silence. And every year they were allowed to speak two words. Yeah, so this guy becomes a monk at the monastery, the silent monks, the silent order. And after the first year, he's allowed to say his first two words. And he goes to the abbot, the head monk, and he meets the abbot in his office. He gets two words. He says, food cold. That's it. It's two words, food cold. Okay. Now it goes a whole year, and he's, making candlesticks or whatever they do in the monastery all day. And he does this for a year. He can't speak. He does not speak. And after the next year, the second year, he goes to the abbot and he has his meeting one-on-one with the abbot. He gets to say two more words, and he says to the abbot, bed hard. Okay, it's two words after his second year. And he goes back to his silent life for another whole year. And after the third year, he goes into the abbot. He's got two words. He's got two words to say now. He says to the abbot, I quit. And the abbot says, well, it doesn't surprise me. You haven't stopped complaining since you got here. So you might be intimidated by the power of speech. You say, that's it, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to take a vow of silence. No, don't be intimidated by it. You've got the power, use it. And speak good things about people. Make a point of it to set aside time, even.
Even if they're idiots?
What? Even if they're idiots. Yeah, especially if they're idiots. You gotta find good in them and speak about the good in them and make it more real. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Also ourselves.
What?
We have to speak good about ourselves.
Speak, oh yeah, yeah, that's also good. You can speak good about yourself. What is, I'm good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.